Day 12, Fellowship. Welcome to Day 12. Today we will be discussing the details or components of a healthy church. We are going to unpack what's in Acts 2:42 through 47 in detail. These verses set the standard and models for us what the church should be like. As we mentioned yesterday, the church is more than just a building. It's a living entity because we as humans make up the church. For a living organism to survive and thrive, it has to have the right environment to succeed. It also has to have the right nutrients to grow to its fullest potential and to be sustained. Let's now read Acts 2:42 through 47. Fellowship of the Believers. Acts 2:42 through 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Teaching. Acts 2:42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. The apostles at that time were instructed by Jesus to teach everything that he, Jesus, taught them. We know that the Old Testament was used in these teachings because we see it sprinkled throughout the New Testament. One of the most important aspects to point out is that they weren't just making up things. It was about Jesus' teachings combined with the Old Testament in conjunction with the power of the Holy Spirit. There are two things we can take from this simple understanding. First, Jesus is the head of this group of believers, meaning they place Jesus in the highest position or authority within the structure of this group. There is a real danger if a man tries to place himself as the sole leader of the church. What happens is that they remove Jesus as head over the church, Ephesians 1:22, and place themselves as the point of importance rather than God. These are things to be mindful of as you look for a healthy church. Is it really about Jesus or is it about an individual? Find a church that places Jesus on the rightful throne where he deserves to be. Second, this passage teaches us that the authority for this group was the words of God. Another sign of a healthy church is to examine how they teach. Are they teaching ideas from themselves, more self-help than biblically focused? Are they teaching from the Word of God? This is an easy way to know healthy from unhealthy churches. I tell you these things because the spirit that drives that church, either spirit of God or spirit of this world, will instruct you, and it's okay to be selective about whom you want to speak and teach in your life. A healthy church culture keeps Christ as the head of the church and teaches the Word of God. Fellowship. Acts 2:42 says, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and prayer. Fellowship simply happens when a group of people with a shared interest spend time together. Life is too short to place yourself around meaningless conversations and people who are focused on themselves. Find a group of people who care about you and God and are striving towards their purpose in Christ. We see that they shared meals and prayed over one another. These are just a few signs you have a good group of people to do life with. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Awe and miracles. Acts 2:43 says, everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. If you remember back on day 10, we discussed this awe factor. Awe is defined as an overwhelming feeling of fearful wonder. It ties into our healthy view of God by having a holy fear. The early church understood the power and majesty of God. Since we have previously discussed this awe factor, the only thing I want to point out is that they walked in this understanding of God. The apostles performed signs and wonders, meaning miracles. Unfortunately, there is a negative view about the idea of miracles because either people have abused this or overemphasized this particular demonstration of God in certain groups of believers. Regardless of your previous understanding of these things, I want to encourage your attention to one thing. Jesus performed miracles. A lot of them. Also, his followers did too. We see so many recordings of miracles in both the Old and New Testament. It's just unbiblical to deny them or rationale them away. God is a good father who has good gifts, and if he decides to demonstrate his love towards us in the form of a miracle, then I say amen. God provides miracles as an expression of His love and provision to us. So it's okay by faith to believe in a miracle and ask the Father for it. It's important to note that we shouldn't just chase the miracles alone. We should be chasing the miracle maker. Acts 3:16, Deuteronomy 10:21, Job 5:8-9, Romans 15:19, Acts 19:11-12, Daniel 3:25. Unity and humility. Acts 2:44 says, "All the believers were together and had everything in common." Have you ever noticed the word community contains the word unity, and unity starts with you? I know that might sound cheesy, and I agree it does, but it also holds a very real truth. We as individuals hold the key to unity, and unity can only be accomplished if we are really for one another. To be for one another means we are not one-upping each other to make a name for ourselves, but we are striving to be a servant first to those around us, to be trusted, and to not gossip when someone shares failures, hurts, or prayer requests. Gossip and pride are the two keys that destroy unity and hurt the church very quickly. These sinful practices are encouraged by the enemy and give way to the fallen nature. One of the hardest things for the church is to keep unity, but let me encourage you, it is possible. Three of the fruits of the Spirit are love, peace, and self-control. So pray that the Spirit helps us as individuals to be mindful of the tactics of the enemy and flesh. Remember that unity begins with you. As the body of Christ, let's strive for unification in all things. Ephesians 4:3. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Generosity. Acts 2:45 says, "They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need." Historically speaking, especially in early church history, generosity is what made the church stand out in the world. They fed those who were hungry, clothed those who needed clothes, and provided resources to those in need. The church is a place of selfless individuals who see people through the lens of Christ, meaning that people matter to God, so they matter to the Christian. Can we truly call ourselves followers of God if we leave a child and brothers or sisters in need? As the body of Christ, we should strive to bless and help those around us. Genuine faith produces good deeds that go hand in hand, as we discussed on day 3. We love those around us like we love ourselves. Luke 10:27. Consistency. Acts 2:46 says, "Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts." Consistency in our spiritual lives is a must and is tied into the idea of commitment, one of four key pillars in our Christian life. To be committed to something means we have consistency with that thing we are committed to. The same goes for us coming together as a church. The regularity of coming together produces greater focus and encouragement in our lives. Hebrews 10:24 through 25. "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Gratitude. Acts 2:46 says, "Praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people." We see that the early church had an attitude of gratitude toward God, which was expressed in worship toward God and goodwill toward one another. Our attitudes set the tone for how we interact with God both privately and publicly and with people around us. One key component for us as the body of Christ is to be in a state of worship and gratitude as we meet together, realize what Christ has done for us, and allow that to be the overflow of our lives. Psalms 100:2. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Increase. Acts 2:47 says, "And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." When it comes to thriving churches, we see God will provide the increase of people to that body of believers if they are spiritually healthy. I do truly believe that the healthiness of fellowship is a condition placed on the church by the Lord. This is why this particular verse is last in Acts 2. It is to demonstrate that if a church is healthy, God will allow that church to prosper. Within the same line of thinking, just because a church has an X number of people going to it, it does not always mean that it has healthy fellowship. Acts 2:42 through 47 show several important factors that make the church healthy, and a growing number of people is just one aspect of health. We all indeed have parts to play within the body of Christ, and those roles are important, but we must not elevate any role or person above Christ himself. Romans 12:3. It is the Lord's church, his ministry, and he is the one who draws each individual for his glory. And it is God who provides the increase within this process. Our responsibility is to stay unified and humble in fellowship. We should love people towards Christ and disciple them towards maturity in him. Colossians 1:28.